The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, thank you. As you have a seat, I want to introduce to you, if you've not yet met him, my good friend, mentor, and pastor, Stan. Come on up. Stan's going to be sharing with us week 4 of our series, Transformed. If you have your journals, you can turn to session 4 to take notes in. We're going to be looking at how God wants to transform our emotional life. And let me just pray for Stan and for our hearts to be open as he shares with us. God, thank you so much for Stan. Thank you so much for your word. I pray that you just, through the power of your Holy Spirit, give Stan the words that you want him to share with us. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, you would open up our hearts to hear your voice through this sharing this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Stan.
Amen. Thank you, John. So, how are you guys doing? Doing pretty good? You're awake? So you can listen to some things I might say and some things I might not say. But anyway, we're in this together, and what we're going to do is talk about some, well, I was supposed to talk about feelings, but I think I'll talk about transformations and look at some different kinds of transformations that happen with people. In fact, we are being transformed daily. When I look in the mirror, I see something that I wonder how it got transformed into that. Because it looks nothing like I feel on the inside. On the inside, I feel I have a lot of energy and a lot of capability and a lot of youth. But on the outside, it's like, what? But the transformation continues to go on. I have little control over what I become on the outside unless I use some Botox. But I can make a choice about what I become on the inside. We have the potential in our inner lives to be transformed. But then the question is, to be transformed into what or to whom? At this point in the talk, you are going to expect me to follow a Christian pathway of miraculous transformation in the image of Christ. But what if I don't? For you see, you and I are under no obligation to follow Christ. He has not mandated that we would follow him. And so, I am free to make my choices, to believe whatever I like. Without really knowing what I'm getting into, I may choose to take a transformational pathway like Walt White of Breaking Bad. Anybody see that? I never saw it, but I read something about it. That's a remarkable transformation, but it's not one that we want to model ourselves after, because he was a chemistry teacher, I understand. And he decided, because he was sick and his family didn't have enough resources, that he would go into selling drugs to make his money. And then when he died, his family would be supplied for. But apparently, through the story, there's all kinds of disasters and murders and stuff that go on. So we don't want to be transformed like that. But it is a possibility if we allow ourselves to be transformed the wrong way. There is a way that seems right, Proverbs says, seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And we make decisions based on our emotions a lot of times. And so when we're making a decision, we have to make sure that we're pointing in the direction God would have us to go. We will change no matter what. We may choose by default, growing old and boring, pursuing a mundane life that takes as few chances as possible. Or we may choose some way of life with a purpose. What purpose? Good or ill? Now another snippet of somebody who went the wrong way. It is not uncommon for a young lady to meet a very romantic and generous young man, and after dating for a year or so, then becoming engaged to be married in another year or so, then getting married. And the man she married disappears, to be replaced by a man who is controlling, harsh, and disrespectful, and jealous, and perhaps abusive in other ways. And the newly married woman is taken aback. How did that happen? What is the purpose of that kind of life? Can such a marriage be saved? Perhaps, but not without other transformations. Like the wife asserting herself that she is indeed someone to be respected and nurtured and reckoned with if her husband refuses to behave in a respectful manner. There must be a transformation. And the transformation in the husband's life must be so powerful that it blows us completely away. But the Holy Spirit can do that, although it's rare. There must be a transformation so powerful in the husband's life that he dramatically changes into a husband who cherishes his wife. Without such changes, the marriage is destined for dissolution because selfishness and inflexibility have overcome devoted love for each other. A marriage of hostilities is no marriage at all. In fact, it is the antithesis of what God has called us to do. We are called to be followers of Him, not enslaved in a marriage that disparages the value of love and nurture. An abusive marriage has far-reaching consequences and includes the legacy of fighting, belittling, assaulting, and degrading behaviors that are passed on to the children and their children after that. It's a very sad thing. But enough of negative transformations and the misleading feelings that lead us there. Such situations are all too familiar, and in fact, you did not come to hear about them because it said right on the screen, transformed, how God changes us. Such situations are all too familiar, but you didn't come to hear about them. You came to hear a message about a wonderful and miracle-working God who can do far more than we ask or imagine as we turn to the light that is Christ. Remember, when we choose to go the right or the wrong way, the Holy Spirit doesn't say, well, you can't go that way. He says, you are free to do what you want to do. So we must choose to follow Christ in the liberty that He gives us. Now, we have a lot of feelings that happen to us day by day. So what did you feel this morning? And I expect you felt maybe a half a dozen or more feelings, one being sleepiness. And then you got out of bed and you said, oh, you know, church, what? Oh, it's too early. So there was a kind of a lethargy maybe there. Then, as you began to develop, you got into a rushed feeling. And so you're rushing around trying to make it to church on time. And finally, a comfortable feeling when you arrived and sat down to enjoy the service. Then, a feeling of anticipation, moving into the sunlight of His love. Because when we're here, we want to find ways to be in the sunlight of His love, the wonderful presence of Christ. And that may not be circled around where I am or what I'm saying. It can come from your neighbor. You say, well, this person shook my hand, this person loves me, and I'm finding the presence of Christ in my life in many different ways. We've got a verse that's coming up here, I think. Now, this is kind of a zigzag sermon, so just kind of hang on like this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is one of my favorite verses. I use it all the time. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And is it? Have you found, there it is, Mason does a wonderful job with these things. So have you experienced that? That transition from the old man to the new man, or the old woman to the new woman? And this is a powerful experience when we experience it. And so next, what we move on to is the central thought for this message to you, the major benefit of the change in our lives is the challenge. We want to think about becoming mentally healthy and staying that way through the transforming power of God. Well, now, what does that mean? Being mentally healthy is a very complicated kind of thing because we're not always up, we're not always feeling good about ourselves, but the presence of Christ leads us in ways that give us confidence to do what we need to do for Him and leads us in pathways that give us optimism and hope and peace and wisdom and all those kinds of things. So our relationship to Christ has everything to do with mental health. For Christ is our life. And with His presence within us, we go forward with life, confidently facing the challenges it brings. Question for you. Why is Hope Hill such a wonderful church? If I picked on you, you could answer a good answer. And one of those answers is, we love each other. And love brings us together. And we look out for each other. And so we're in the family of God. Because of the love of Christ, which draws us together, we are a strong church. And we are a reconciling church, bringing Christ, bringing our God to each other and everyone we meet. So you see, love brings us closer together. But fear and anger and criticism pushes us apart. And so we find being bound together in the love of Christ gives us strength. The following verses put a description of our life in Christ as remarkably transformative and influential for ourselves and our community. These words must be received into our hearts and minds as the essential first step of becoming mentally healthy. Now, the next verse begins with 1 Corinthians 5:16, and it carries on from the other one because we go with this, the same big passage, which has got all kinds of stuff in it. And I want you to pick it up and carry it with you. 1 Corinthians 5:16, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. No one from a worldly point of view. What do you think that means? But that when we see one another, we have a person that is very valuable and not somebody that can be dismissed. But we see somebody that we want to love and care for because we don't see them from a worldly point of view. We see them from Christ's point of view. Now, that thought of seeing no one from a worldly point of view is revolutionary. Because when you're driving down the street and somebody cuts in front of you and do you see them from a worldly point of view? Ah! Angry about that. But our calling is we don't see them from a worldly point of view. We say, dear God, bless that person because they're speeding and I keep them safe because I don't want them to cut anybody else off. A worldly point of view is that everything is scientific and nothing is forever when it comes to humans. However, as Christians, we are not ordinary people. We look at all the world as an exceptional place to be illumined in our lives and actions. Now, for that passage, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, is put into stark perspective by C.S. Lewis. He says a few words, you've probably read them before, but it says, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal and their life is to ours like the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. So each of you is immortal in this moment. And he says, we are either going into the darkness or going into the light. But that no one is just a human and passing through. But how much do you believe that statement that everyone is immortal? It's true, but it's difficult to believe that because we see things going along. You know, you look up at me and you can say, well, you know, he's going along there and he's going to be gone fairly soon. Well, hopefully not too soon. But aging does that. And we think about death as final. But the scripture teaches us that we are immortals now and we are to serve God as immortals and do it that way. Now I'm going to go to another verse and hopefully this will bring you to a place of commission because we were talking about Hope for Nova a few minutes ago. And these verses set us up to be going forward in the Hope for Nova project. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We did the first phrase of it. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled, and notice the word reconciled, brought harmony, brought unity, brought togetherness, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Whoa! He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So how does that feel to be the person, the group, that brings people together in the name of God? Is that not what the mission is about Hope House? And on all these Hope for Nova activities. So this verse gives us guidance to go and do that. Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we bring people together, that we love them, that we lift them up. And we are his ambassadors. So he's given us an assignment, a title. We are Christ's ambassadors. And that is a very important thing to remember as we go about our work with Hope for Nova, or wherever we go in our work, or at home, or anywhere. So, now, Zag, or Zig, one of the other. I'm going to take a sharp turn that moves away from the celebration of the ambassadorship we have in God's kingdom. Some people, well, this is kind of just an aside. Some people have said they like my talks because they can never know what I'm going to say next. Of course, that would be helpful if I knew, right? We're going to talk about how it is imperative that we follow after God, even though we're very discouraged and depressed. So when we think our ministry of reconciliation, we need to continue to go forward doing the things that God has called us to do. The gospel has not left us because we feel anxious or depressed. Our faith and residence in the family of God is still present no matter how difficult life seems. Did we put that one up? We'll see. Because when we think about how we feel down and discouraged, it's not infrequent that we feel that God is not there. Depression pushes him into the shadows a lot of times. And so we must remember that the gospel is there with us. He is there with us. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now we are stepping into where the rubber meets the road in those moments when we struggle. And we all do struggle. Of course, if you ask somebody, how are you? They will say, fine. And if you ask them again, they will say, fine. And if you ask them again, they will say, stop asking me that. Or they might, if they really felt you cared, say, I'm not doing so good because I'm struggling with different kinds of problems in my life. But if you're doing the ministry of reconciliation, they will hear that. And they will be able to share with you the things that are really bothering them. And will lift them up. Let's review for a few moments just a small part of what challenges the mental health of Americans. Anxiety disorders are present in 40 million Americans, or 18% of the population. That means that 18 out of 100 adults suffer from anxiety. So, in this congregation, if we did the same percentages, we got 72 people that are suffering from anxiety. Well, that hopefully is not the case. But it is to some extent, there are a fair number of people suffering from it. And that's not a fun thing, because I went through that, as you know, and I talked about that before. And it still comes sometimes. Moving to depression, the statistics, major depression, 6.7% of the U.S. population, and then persistent depressive disorder, 1.5, and maybe about 25 people suffered from depression. So we have just these two that I'm going to talk about a little bit, anxiety and depression among our people. And so when we think about that, or when we feel that, we just sort of say, what to do? I don't know anything to do about that. It's just knocking me down. I can't do anything with it. We tend to be sometimes like the rabbit in Alice in Wonderland, who is extremely agitated, running, trying to find some place to go. And so he says, I'm late. So he's all confused, and he goes down the rabbit hole, and then we follow him down there. Woo! That's not the right place to go with that. We have faith, but there must be action supplementing the faith to get results. And so we have faith and action, always link the two. There was a flood. The flood continued to rise until it reached the eaves of the house. And the owner of the house climbed onto the roof and prayed desperately, Lord, save me from this disastrous flood. And so presently, a boat came by, and the boatman told the man, get into the boat, I'll take you to shore. And the man said, I've prayed the Lord will help me, the Lord will help me, he will save me. So the boat went off. Then momentarily, a helicopter came right down next to him, And they shouted down to him over the din of the rotors, "Reach down and grab the rope. We'll pull you up and take you to safety." He said, no, the Lord is going to rescue me. And the water continued to come up, and finally there was a scuba diver came in, and he threw a float on the roof and said, "Grab the float and I'll tow you to safety." And the man said, "No, I cannot do that because the Lord is going to save me." So the flood got worse, and the man drowned. And when he got to heaven, he said, "Lord, why didn't you save me?" And the Lord said, "Well, I really did my best. I sent you 3 opportunities to be saved, and you refused them all. And so the inevitable happened." Faith in action, faith in action. We must do something to do what God wants us to do. First thing to do about these illnesses, these depressive episodes that come in, is believe that you can become mentally healthy and stay that way. But we must use all the resources at hand to accomplish our goal. And the work will not be easy. The next verse is the one that talks about how we have peace in Christ. And this one we need to read together, because everybody knows that one. Is that true? Almost everybody. So let's read it together. "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:8. How often have you used that verse this week? Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe 5 times, maybe 10 or 20, because that verse is a very powerful verse to get us feeling the presence of Christ. These are promises that will come true only if we apply the tools God has provided. For those of us who suffer from anxiety, we hear you say, "Be anxious for nothing," and that is easy for you to say. But many times we can't stop being anxious. The feelings flood us and there seems to be no let up. And we fear all sorts of things. So we feel stuck in that position. We'll talk about some ways to respond to that in a few moments. But going on to depression, these verses are King David's lament. He says, "I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony." Very, very sad and difficult place for David to be in, but some of us have been there too. You can tell from David's words that he believes in God, but his depression devastates him. Our depression covers us like a cold, dark cloud, and we cannot escape it. And in depression, God appears to recede, to go away. But he's still standing there with us. Now, we apply the same steps to both anxiety and depression, since they most often accompany each other. What is the spiritual process through which our lives are changed? First, to receive the transformative work of the Holy Spirit, you must be willing for God to come to you and respond to him unconditionally. Accept that he loves you beyond your wildest expectations. Now here's another verse. I'm going to read, you don't have it up there, but it says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, now to him who is able to do far more than we ask or imagine." Do you use that one? That's way beyond us. "According to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Third, believe that Jesus is the Christ. Confess your sins and fully release the control of your life to him. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Your way forward is by following him wherever he goes." The signposts are many, but sometimes we disregard them. Now, as we have responded briefly in this brief prayer to God, the doorway is open to transformation of our entire lives. Then move on to taking the treatments that are readily available for the illness. As Pastor John said last week, God has given us a mind to use and the ability to use it wisely if we will make a decision to do so. So when we find ourselves under an immobilizing anxiety or an immobilizing depression, then we need to say, Lord, I believe in you. I accept your will for my life, and I want to take the steps you have provided for me. And so this is a very practical thing that follows, because it's faith, then action. And this is the action. To treat your anxiety and your depression, take a note. Accept the promise of God. Accept the promise of healing in your life through the promise that God provides in the Scripture. And take another step. See your physician, and it should be, if possible, a psychiatrist, and evaluate your safety as it relates to suicidal thoughts or intents. Find out if the doctor sees a need to prescribe medication. See, we have had, historically, in the church, I don't need medication. But most of us would be dead right now if we didn't have things like antibiotics, because I count up, you know, 6 or 8 times I would have not been here, for better or for worse, but if we hadn't had modern medicine. And so God has provided that for us. When my mother died of suicide in 1953, there were no resources. The church didn't have anything for her except to lift their voices and wail. They couldn't go to some place to say that she could get something to help her survive. We give God thanks for the things that he has provided us. And it's a good thing to talk to someone, sometimes professionally, sometimes in a group. And number 3, surround yourself with encouraging people. Don't isolate or avoid going out, no matter how resistant your feelings are to such things. So how many people do you have in Hope Hill that are encouraging people? It's important to lift yourself up by them lifting you up, and that will give you an optimistic look at what's going on. Exercise, 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 every day, every day, every day. That doesn't sound really fun, does it? But those are some things that we need to do. Eat healthy, sleep regularly. Now, we must always follow the Lord as closely as possible and never, never, never give up. Do not let up in growing into the likeness of Christ. Do not even look into the darkness for a possible transformation that would lead to death. All through this engaging process of treatments, be prepared for your thoughts and feelings to push back. They will tell you, you will never make it. You are hopeless. And besides, you really don't want to leave the comfort of your dark, warm place where nobody will bother you. And when you start to exercise, your body will scream, you're killing me with this insanity. Stop, for heaven's sake. Give me some air. But you have to continue on, continue on. Do you want the transformation or not? The transformation of God. Are you willing to carry out the mission that God has called you to? If you keep on retreating and isolating, you are wasting your life. Do not forget verses that tell us we are more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus came to free the captives, but if he opens the door and we refuse to pass through it into transformed life, his message is void. Don't harden your heart, but press on till you reach the goal. Now, the final verse is just 3, but it has to do with fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Love draws us together again. So to close, I appeal to you, do not take the broad path that stems from listening to dark thoughts and feelings, but take the narrow way that is directed us by Christ, and we will find the transformation that he calls us to. So let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your wonderful message for us. And may there be some point, some verse, some word that gives us hope and the possibility of healing in our lives. We come before you deeply grateful for the transforming power of your Spirit that puts away the old and makes all things new in our lives. We pray as your people that we will indeed continue to go out as your ambassadors, sharing the good news throughout our community and in our places of work. And Lord, we pray for anyone who might be here. We pray for them to receive the understanding of the Holy Spirit of the Christian message, that they may understand that you desire to live deeply within them, and that they may respond to those of us here who can pray with them, and that their lives might be changed by the power of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Stan. Thank you. I want to encourage you guys this week in our small groups. We have small groups that meet Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday morning. We've got plenty of opportunities. In our small groups, we're going to learn 5 steps to emotional health. We're going to dive a little deeper in our journals. If you don't have a journal, there's a box back there of some more if you've been waiting to get one. We still got 4 sessions, so still a great tool to use to help us to dive deeper into the subject that we've been digging through each week. As we close, our worship team is about to lead us in prayer, lead us in worship as we go to prayer. I want to encourage you, if you know that you're far from God, don't leave here this morning without coming to one of us and saying, you know what? I know I need to be transformed. I need God in my life. I'm going to be up here in the front. I'd love to pray with you. We'll have a couple prayer team members in the back that would love to pray with you as well. If you know Jesus, but you're struggling with some issue, maybe you're feeling depressed. Maybe there's something going on in your life. Don't leave today without seeking help. Let us remember that all our help is rooted in what Christ did for us himself. As he gave himself up for us, allowed his body to be broken, his blood to be shed. And as children of God, we're told to remember that regularly. So this morning, as we close, we're going to remember by taking communion. We have a station in the back where you can serve one another as friends and family, or you can come up to the front and be served by our prayer team and staff. But most of all, listen to God's voice in this moment and respond as the Holy Spirit leads you. God, move among us right now, we pray. Help us to realize that you want to transform every area of our life. Not just the spiritual areas, but emotionally, mentally. God, in the area of when we're feeling down, help us to seek you for the transformation that only you can bring. Be with us now in these closing moments, we pray. Amen. Come, receive communion as you feel led, or come and pray with one of us in the front or the back for whatever God is laying on your heart. Respond now as he leads.